Buenos días. Good morning. Pues bienvenidos a los que están visitando hoy de Roca. Welcome to everybody who's visiting today from Roca de Salvación. Perdóname, yo voy a hablar generalmente en inglés. Y no traducí lo que voy a decir en español. So, perdóname en avanzado. I am mostly going to be speaking in English, so I ask for apologies in advance. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and you may have noticed that we've been following a similar structure of service for every Sunday of Lent. Most of the normal things have been done. The call to worship, singing, prayer, sermon, etc. But there's been a time of confession at the end of our time together. And usually, when we have a time of confession, it's toward the beginning of the service, because the idea is to clear the air between God and us right at the start, so that we can better engage with the rest of the worship service. Confession, though, can mean a bunch of different things. We can confess a faith in God, and we can confess to God. And typically, when we have a confession time at the beginning of the service, we're confessing to God, but having the confession time at the end makes it a little bit blurrier. Are we confessing that we have faith in God? Are we confessing to God about where we are in our relationship with others, with God, and with the world? Or some combination of the two. Last night, I went to the Beating Guns worship time in Portland with a bunch of other people. And Shane Claiborne and Michael Martin shared about guns, gun violence, and how we've got both a gun problem and a heart problem in this country. Everyone was invited to write on a piece of flash paper something of the sinner in ourselves. Shane Claiborne quoted Martin Luther King Jr. about how we all have both a saint and sinner within us, and that it is important to acknowledge our own heart problems. So we wrote one of our heart problems on a piece of this flash paper and then burned it. It's called flash paper because once you put a flame to it, it literally just goes. Oh, sorry. And so it was kind of exciting. And it would be really nice if our heart problems could be solved that quickly as well, but they cannot. So as a step toward working toward our own heart problems, I encourage you to think about your relationship with God, with others, and with the world during the confession time at the end of the service today. There'll be a moment of silence in the middle of the confession to think about confessing, whether it's that we have faith in God or we are confessing to God. So we'll now have the call to worship, and this is based on Psalm 63 and 32. So eso está basado en los Salmos de 63 y 32. I'll read the leader. And you will be the people. O God, you are our God. We seek you. We confess our sin to you, and you forgive us. O God, you satisfy our souls as with a rich feast. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy, and you uphold us.
Good morning. I forgot my pitch pipe, so that's my phone for the pitch, not for anything else. So please join me in the first song, and I did goof up on that, so it's not what's in the bulletin. It's actually number 13 in Sing the Journey, My Soul is Filled with Joy.
My soul is filled with joy.
All right, next we're switching books over to the blue hymnal. And just as in the bulletin, it is page, 167. Let's see if I can get this to work. And page 336 in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
Will the ushers please come forward? And bow our heads. Lord, please use these offerings for your purposes. Amen. All right, kids, come on up. Hi, good morning. Good morning. Morning. Oh, hello, Ellis. Wow, we have a big crowd today. I'm so excited. Okay, today we are going to read a story. Oops, I gotta find it. We are reading a story out of this book, which is my favorite children's book. This is the Jesus Storybook Bible, by the way, if anyone wants to know. It has really good pictures in it, if I can find the right story. Oh, shooties. We're reading about the prodigal son. Does anyone know about the prodigal son? Ah, I found it. Does anyone know about the story about the prodigal son? That's kind of a weird word. Prodigal. Does anyone know about that story?
No.
No? Yeah. Yeah? Do you remember? Do you remember what it's about? Okay, well, we'll read it, and then you'll remember. Jesus told this story. He told this story to help explain something. And so you guys can maybe think about what he was trying to explain. This is called, well, this story, they called it running away. But it's out of Luke 15. Jesus told this story about a boy who ran away. Once upon a time, there was a boy and his dad. Now, one day, the boy gets to thinking, maybe if I didn't have my dad around telling me what is good for me all the time, I'd be happier. Why don't you sit down so everyone can see behind you? He's spoiling my fun, he thinks. Does my dad really want me to be happy? Does my dad really love me? The son never thought of that before. But suddenly, he doesn't know anymore. Yeah. So the son goes to his father and says, Dad, I'm better off without you. I can look after myself. Just give me my share of your money. His father is sad. But he won't force his boy to stay, so he gives his son what he wants. The son takes the money and goes on a long, long journey to a far-off country. And everything's wonderful and perfect for a while. He can go wherever he wants, do whatever he wants, be whoever he wants.
He is the boss. He is free. Why don't you sit down on your bottom? Sometimes he gets a strange, hungry, homesick feeling inside his heart. But then he just eats more or drinks more or buys more clothes or goes to more parties until it goes away. But soon his money runs out, and so do his friends. He ends up getting the only job he can find, feeding pigs. One day, he is so hungry and so desperate, he even tries some piggy food. Do you like piggy food, Olive? Olive, do you like piggy food?
He doesn't know because he never tried it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't tried it either. Maybe. Okay, pigs like pepperoni pizza. One day, I'm going to keep reading. One day, he is so hungry and so desperate, he even tries some piggy food. Maybe pizza. But it probably doesn't taste like pizza anymore. What am I doing? He says suddenly, as if he has woken from a nightmare. He spits, yuck, all of it, out of his mouth. My father is rich, and here I am in a pigsty, eating piggy food. He wipes his mouth, dusts himself off. I'm going home. He's probably stinky, you think? As he starts for home, though, he begins to worry. Have a seat, sweetie. Have a seat on your bottom. Dad won't love me anymore.
Hey,
Olive. Do you want to sit on my lap? Okay. I've been too bad. He won't want me for his son anymore. So he practices his I'm sorry speech. Have you practiced an I'm sorry speech before?
No.
I have. All this time, what he doesn't know is that day after day, his dad has been standing on his porch, straining his eyes, looking into the distance, waiting for his son to come home. He just can't stop loving him. He longs for the sound of his boy's voice. He can't be happy until he gets him back. The sun is still a long way off, but his dad sees him coming. What will the dad do? Fold his arms and frown? Shout, "That'll teach you!" And, "Just you wait, young man." Nope, that's not how this story goes. The dad leaps off the porch, races down the hill, through the gap in the hedge, up the road, and before his son can even begin his I'm sorry speech, his dad runs to him, throws his arms around him, and can't stop kissing him. "Let's have a party," his dad shouts. "My boy's home. He ran away. I lost him, but now I have him back." Jesus told them, God is like the dad who couldn't stop loving his boy. And people are like the son who said, "Does my dad really want me to be happy?" Jesus told people this story to show them what God is like and to show people what they are like, so they could know, however far they ran, however well they hid, however lost they were, it would not matter, because God's children would never run too far or be too lost for God to find them. So God is a good daddy. He is a better daddy than any of us could ever be. And he will always run to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your description of how you love us. Thank you for loving us no matter what we do and no matter how far we run away. Help us to know this and help us to let it sink deep, deep, deep into our hearts and into our minds. In your name, amen.
Micah, you can come help me here with this drama based on the story. We'll begin with the story and then end with it that you just heard. Okay. Is that close
enough? Yeah. That should be good. Okay.
I will be reading from Luke 11, 15 to 32. Voy a leer de Lucas 11, 15 a 32. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me a share of the property that is coming to me."
That's funny. If I didn't know any better, I would have sworn that I just heard you ask me for your share of the inheritance.
You heard right, Dad.
Good thing I'm used to your outrageous sense of humor, son. Someone else might have taken that joke seriously and popped a blood vessel. But I know you, always a clown, always pushing the envelope.
I'm not kidding. I want what's mine, and I want it now.
You're serious?
Do I look like I'm not?
I'm stunned. I never saw this coming. I never even considered the possibility of such a thing. But children usually wait for their parents to die before they lay hold of the inheritance. And I'm no spring chicken. What's the hurry that you would so greatly dishonor your old man and break his heart like that?
So I'm impatient. Deal with it.
It's like you wish me dead already. Or how else should I take your demand?
Take it any which way you want, old man. I'm leaving, and I want my part of the inheritance now, not later.
Hold on a second. You just might get your inheritance the usual way. This feels like it's going to be the big one. I'm coming, Rachel.
Skip the theatrics, Dad. Give me my share of the money now, and you can die whenever you like, for all I care.
So, what did I do to deserve such an outrageous insult, my son?
It's not about you, Dad. You've always been okay if a little bit square and stodgy. It's about me. I gotta be myself. I gotta spread my wings and fly. There's a big, beautiful world out there and with my name all over it.
So, what would you do with your part of the inheritance?
You wouldn't want to know. You aren't gonna like it.
Does it involve anything that your mother Rachel and I and the rabbi have warned you against?
That and more. More than you'll ever know or even think about in this uptight, two-bit, one-horse backward over wide spot on the road where everyone is related to each other. Man, I should have been aching to get out of here for ages.
And I could tell. And when the time came for you to leave, I was not going to try to keep you here against your will. But I never thought it would come to something as hurtful and outrageous as demanding your inheritance while I am yet alive. I reared sons, but when they grew up, they rebelled against me.
Not my older brother, that prude. That stuck-up goody two-shoes. He never had the courage to rebel, even in the slightest. But those words you just said sound familiar. You're not quoting the Bible, are you?
Of course, the opening words of the prophet Isaiah.
I should have known. Everything comes down to the Bible for you, doesn't it, Dad?
It's what makes me the okay father you said I am.
Yeah, but I also said square and stodgy. Whatever. The only book I care about is our farm's account book. Break it out and figure out my share of the inheritance. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. Or do you just want to take what I figure I got coming to me?
When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me.
More of the Bible, I take it?
From the prophet Hosea. To them, I was like a child who lifts. I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek. And I bent down to feed them. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel?
Well, it's what I'm asking of you, Dad. No, it's more like what I'm demanding of you. I'm leaving, whether you like it or not. So give me my share of the inheritance, unless you just want me to take what I figure is mine. Otherwise, I just might go off and starve to death.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. You get your inheritance.
Really?
Yes, as you wish. I'll sell off some of our livestock this afternoon and give you the proceeds tonight.
Now you're kidding.
No, I'm not. You'll get your inheritance before you leave tomorrow.
I wasn't expecting such a response.
Like you said, I wouldn't want you to starve to death.
But why should you even care? Haven't I just effectively disowned you? By demanding my share of the inheritance now while you're yet alive?
Of course you did. I get that.
Well, at the very least, I expect you to disown me back. What will the relatives of the community think if you disown me?
If I don't? Oh, that's the least of my cares right now. None of this is about them, son. You can disown me all you like, but if the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, then why should my love ever cease?
Not the Bible again.
What I'm trying to say, son, is you can disown me all you like, but you will always be my son, wherever you go, whatever you do. Besides, if I did disown you and refuse you your share of the inheritance, that would probably only confirm for you all the reasons that you think you have to leave. Am I right?
I had them all rehearsed and ready in my mind.
Okay, let's hear them.
You're an uptight, unfeeling, overwrought, hyper-strict, religion-muddled ogre whose self-restraint, self-discipline, and self-denial are so oppressive that they oppress everyone else around you, too.
Is that all?
And that's why you always disapprove of everything I've ever wanted and refuse me what's mine.
Like when?
Like when you disowned me and withheld me from my inheritance.
But I didn't, remember?
But if you had withheld part of my inheritance, as I expected, and as you're supposed to, and I half hoped you would, then I could be the martyr for a change, and that would only prove my point.
And I'm not playing your game, son. On my word, you will get your part of the inheritance tonight even, which I figure should be at least the value of 7 sheep and 2 years' worth of grape and wheat harvest.
I'm stunned. That's better than I expected.
Like you said, I wouldn't want you to starve to death. But you get all that on just one condition.
I knew there'd be a catch. Okay, let me have it. What is it?
That wherever you go, I go too.
Now you're really kidding. And it's not funny, Dad.
Once again, I'm not kidding. I'm coming along with you.
Sure. Coming along to cramp my style and wag your finger at me every time I start to have any real fun? Great. Like that's ever going to happen. Try and come with me, old man, and I'll leave you in the dust. You'll wake up in some dusty old tavern one morning and find me gone. Long gone.
I'm not coming along to keep tabs on you. I'm not coming along to crimp your style, son. I'm going with you off into that far-off country to do anything and everything you do. Maybe I'm ready for some wine, women, and song, too.
Who are you, and what have you done with my father?
So, when do we leave?
But you can't leave.
What do you mean I can't leave? Don't think that I'm incapable of any of the things that you have in mind. We're made of the same stuff, son. And don't think that I've never been tempted to do everything and anything that you might want to do.
But, Dad, you've got to stay here. My brother needs you. So does the rest of the family and the whole community, for that matter.
And you think that we don't need you?
What do I care about that? This is about what me and what I need.
Well, what about me?
You've never struck me as the type who needs to run off and live it up. If anything, we've always relied on you not to run off and live it up. In fact, we've always needed you not to run off and live it up.
Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
But you're old.
I'll overlook that remark. But what if I am old? Maybe it's my time finally to run off and waste what little time and substance I have left in this long old life after all those years of being here for you, for your mother Rachel, for your brother, the village, the relatives, the synagogue.
But if everyone were to act like me, then no one could.
You lost me there. Would you run that by me again, please?
Look, Dad. If I'm to run off and rebel, someone else has to stay and obey. I mean, what women could I carouse with if no one stays home to raise and protect their daughters? Or how can I drink myself silly if no one tends the vineyards? Or how can I pig out if no one goes hungry out in the fields protecting their cows and sheep from bandits and wolves?
Well, excuse me for feeling used.
Nothing personal, Dad.
Well, maybe I'm tired of being the one who always stays, obeys, and tends the sheep, the vineyard, the fields, and the family all the time.
I admit, Dad, if anyone should be weary of being virtuous, dependable, disciplined, and responsible, it would be you. But think of all the people you'd be hurting if you suddenly dropped your part in this community like a hot stone. It'll be hard enough to fill in the gap after you die. Can't you hang on till then?
Can't you?
You got me there, Dad. That was tricky. But this isn't about you. It's about me and my need to fly to Coop. Besides, if you run out off with me, who will I come home to?
So you're planning on coming home?
No, Dad. I couldn't. I wouldn't dare show my face around here again. Not with all what I'm wanting to do. The shame would be too great. And the community would be too hostile. They might even stone me to death for rebellion like the law says they can. And that's why I have to leave.
You lost me again. You're leaving and effectively telling me to drop dead because of what we might do to you if you leave and effectively tell me to drop dead.
I knew I shouldn't have expected you to understand.
But somewhere down deep in your heart of hearts, you're hoping that I will still be here to welcome you when you come home.
If I come home. Yeah, suppose.
Is that what you need from me, son? That I stay here?
Not just me, Dad.
If it's what you need, son, then yes, I'll stay. I was only messing with you anyway when I offered to come along. I need to stay for my own sanity and integrity. I'll keep working the vineyards, watching the livestock, tending the fields, along with your older brother. And I would do no one any favor, myself included, if I followed you off into that far country and did what you did anyway.
So you'll do the right thing, even if I don't?
Since when did you ever see me lick my finger and put it up to the wind to determine right from wrong, good from bad? If you know, I'm willing to be the last person in the world who lives the way I do, if that's what it comes to.
You Probably means I'd better not even think about coming home. You'll never change.
Son, you had better hope that I never change. Count on me to keep watching for you to come home and hoping and praying for your safety and your return. Because what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy?
The Bible again. Always the Bible, Dad.
And be glad for that, because mercy is as much a part of God's word as is morality. And we all need plenty of both.
You wouldn't know that to hear the rabbi speak.
So he's young yet. Wait until he's had some children and they grow up. Or until he too is tempted, like you, to run off into some far country, so much so that he can hardly stand it and stay put. Then you will see more depth to the man. Time can do that to you. And having kids.
They make you drop off and drop everything and run off like I'm doing?
Not necessarily. They make you cry all the harder for mercy because of all the times you just want to drop everything and run off. Because, you know, deep down, you're really no different and no better than those who do drop everything and run off like you're doing now. But wherever you go, son, whatever you do, rest assured that you can always come home to me, because I have to come home to my father every day.
Grandpa's long dead. Oh, you mean coming home to God, right?
Sure.
You, who are so upright and uptight, you sometimes wander from God and have to come home too.
Listen, my daily respectable little rebellions and desertions are finally no better in God's sight than the big, outrageous, outlandish one that you're pulling right now. And yet, God never locks the door nor blows out the light on me, so I will never lock the door on you. You can always come home whenever you like, and the lamps will still be lit.
I don't know how you can be so hard on yourself and so soft on me.
You've got it backwards, son. You're the one being hard on yourself. You're the one hurting yourself, and I'm afraid you're going to be hurting a lot worse before you come to your senses. By bearing the yoke of God's word, I'm sparing myself a world of hurt and doing what's good for me.
Don't you ever feel used by punks like me?
Aha! So now you're thinking of someone other than yourself for a change. Don't worry about me, son. As much as your absence will hurt me, it won't hurt anywhere near as bad as what you're doing to yourself. And while you're gone, I'll continue to think about you while we're celebrating the harvests or the high holy days, and I will wish for you and pray for you the same joy as what we know in those moments.
How would you even want me back when my leaving is going to set you back so much?
This time, son, that's not about you. It's about me. And after all these years of bearing the yoke of God's law, I would be untrue to myself if I kicked it off and left with you to carouse and carry on in some far country. So don't worry about me hanging around, crimping your style, or throwing cold water on your fun. I have found other joys that don't leave me hurting or heartbroken the next day.
That's a relief.
But I would be just as untrue to myself if I disowned you and joined the crowd that would want to stone you if you returned. I would also be untrue to God and myself if I held on to a grudge against you so that I could never welcome you home. Every day that I look up from my labors to watch for you along the road home, every time I pray for your safe return, I will be doing that for my sake as well as yours, in order to be true to who I am and to who God is. And when you do come back...
That chance, Dad.
Okay. If you come back, I will embrace you so tight that anyone who wants to stone you will have to stone me too.
Leaving you and disowning you are not turning out quite to be what I expected.
But you're still going through with it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Son, Your stubbornness and hardness of heart scare me more than anything I can ever imagine you doing. I don't understand them.
What's there to understand, Dad? I gotta be myself and I gotta be free.
Grind fools in a mortar like grain with a pestle, and still you won't separate them from their folly.
The Bible again. Did Moses say that?
No, Solomon in the Proverbs. And he turned out to be even more foolish and rebellious than you, but as an old man, and not a youngin' like you.
Maybe you should have done it the other way around, rebelling first and repenting later.
Is that your plan? Is there hope then of your return? Always remember, son, there's nothing shameful about changing your mind and coming back home. The shame is in refusing to learn, to admit the truth, and to change your ways. That's the path to crazy. Return to me, and I shall return to you.
Not Moses again.
It's Malachi. I know, son, that it's God whom you're finally rebelling and reacting against, not me in the end. But one day, you will hear his word calling you back home. And when you hear that word, when you hear that voice, don't fight it.
Don't hold your breath.
And because of that same word, I will be here as long as I'm alive, waiting for you to welcome you back and restore you to the family as though you had never left. And not just because of who you are, my son, but because of who I am and who God is. You can take that to the bank, son. That offer is as good as my life or as long as I live. I swear by all that is most high and holy.
You sound like God.
And just where do you think I learned that? Not that I would claim to be God, of course, but thank you. Any resemblance between us is intentional.
Bye, Dad. See you tonight for my inheritance.
Bye, son. I love you.
Whatever.
The end.
So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became very angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
For our response song, we'll be singing in the Blue Hymnal, page 150. And if you are able, please join me in standing for this one.
This is our time for confession. We'll pause in silence at the end of this slide after I say, let us bring ourselves to God in prayer. Eso es de los Salmos 32, 10 a 11. This is from Psalm 32, 10 and 11. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Who will trust the Lord today? We will trust the Lord today. We are all invited to trust the Lord today. Please let us bring ourselves to God in prayer. Together. God of steadfast love, we put our trust in your care for us. We need to find our way home, we put our trust in you. When we need forgiveness, we put our trust in you. When our souls hunger for a new way of living, we put our trust in you. In the morning and in the evening, we put our trust in you. Our generous God provides for us.
We're going to move into our prayer and share time, and as we do that, I want to first welcome Roca congregation here with us, and Pastor Victor, if you have a word that you would like to share with us, would you come forward at this time, Pastor Victor? We're looking forward to the meal today that your congregation is preparing for us for Vida Feliz Senior Sitter. We want you to bring us some words of greeting.
Estamos muy contentos en este lugar.
We're very happy in this place to be here.
Gracias por hacernos partícipes de esta buena obra para Bolivia.
Thank you. We thank you because we are participating to be in this fundraising meal for Bolivia.
La Biblia dice que el que comenzó en nosotros la buena obra la perfeccionará hasta el día de Jesucristo.
The word says that God, who has started the process of perfecting us, will continue to do it till the day of Jesus.
Bendiciones, hermanos, para todos ustedes.
Blessings for everyone.
Tenemos un canto que queremos cantar como congregación, un canto que habla que nuestro Señor Jesucristo dejó su trono, vino a buscar al perdido, y allí me encontró a mí y a usted también. Y gracias a ese sacrificio, hace posible que hoy podamos estar juntos aquí y en el cielo también.
We're going to sing a special song. Speaks of Jesus Christ, who died for us to look for the lost, to save us as he resurrected from the dead. And we sing this in gratefulness to the Lord that one day we may be with him, with our Savior.
Hermanos de Roca, pueden pasar. No cantamos tan bien, pero vamos a hacer lo posible.
We might not sing very well, but we're going to make it possible.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Thank you. This is our prayer and share time where we invite you to respond to our worship service. If there are prayers, joys that you want to share with us, you can raise your hand and I'll bring the mic to you. I do want to bring your attention to several from our congregation who are facing some surgery, some treatments. We want to remember Paul David Heiser today, who was discharged from the hospital this week. He is at Marquee Rehab, and we want to pray for just healing of this wound that he has around his ankle and foot. So we want to remember him today. Also, Donna Olis was diagnosed with breast cancer about a month ago. She will be having surgery this Tuesday. I want to remember Donna and also Brenda Kaufman. Here is a little update regarding her breast cancer diagnosis. She is now receiving chemotherapy and appreciates the prayers and support that she has felt from a lot of people through this time, and she has just expressed that God's timing has been perfect in this struggle, because there will be no camp this summer that Tony and Brenda are in charge of, and there's time that she can go through this chemotherapy. So we want to remember Donna, Brenda, and Paul. Also, Olive Kanegi, who passed away this week, we want to remember her family. There will be a viewing tomorrow from 1 to 4 at Cornwall in Woodburn for Olive. And also Tuesday, there will be a graveside that is just for immediate family. That will be Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So please remember their family. This is Cheryl Garber, John Garber, their children, extended family, a long line of relatives that come from Zion. Would anyone else like to share at this time? Matthew?
Just two things. A number of folks have asked about how it's working out for Becky and me with our new situation in our second home in the Dalles, and our home in Canby has been sold as of this week, and the Mast family has graciously allowed me to rent their barnament for the parts of the week that I'm in town, and it's like a lovely retreat center. It's very wonderful. Thank you to them. The days that I'm not in, I'm at our small unit in the Dalles, and as soon as weather is right, it's getting there, and the permits come in, then we'll have a house built as part of a new development there in the Dalles. So that's sort of how things are working out. I'm happy to be coming back in. I have the world's most beautiful commute, I think, coming through the gorge. Also, our friends from Roca de Salvacion asked if I could translate for you the wonderful song that they just sang, and I will translate start with the chorus that you heard again. Que lindo es mi Cristo, how lovely is my Christ, how great is his love that he gave. Well, the first one is, I had been lost, but he came and found me. And with his tender hands, he, sort of like a healing, gentle touch, taking me into his arms, and he sheltered me. Such sweet touch, that of the Lord, of the Savior, touch that fills my heart with love. And his voice assures me that he is ever with me and will be forever and for all eternity. You left your throne to come here looking for the one who is lost, and you found me. Again, what sweet touch, that of the Savior, and his touch fills me with love, and his voice assures me that he is with me forever and for all eternity. That's what, that was a testimony they shared.
Thank you. Nancy?
I didn't make it out earlier in time for announcements, so this is my announcement. I've been working out there all day yesterday and this morning with this group of wonderful people, and I just want you to know that They worked very hard, and that nothing that you're going to eat today came from a can. It was all hand-chopped. And the other thing I want you to know is that all of the food, the meat and all the produce, was donated by Ray's Produce in Salem, who is related by marriage to one of the women. So if you're ever in Salem and you're hungry or you want some fruit, Ray's Produce, I've driven by it, and I've never stopped in there, but it's on Silverton Road. And that means that all the money you give this afternoon is going to go straight to Vita Feliz and not to pay for food. So get out your checkbooks.
Thank you. All are invited to stay for our meal afterwards. Anyone else like to share, Carol?
The last couple of years, some of you may have gotten to know Larry Yoder as he attended our church, and he had shared several times about his wife who was in memory care. I got a call from him Friday, and Betty died on Friday. Celebration of Life will be August 13. From April.
April.
He's living in the past. I said April. April 13, 2 to 5 at Smyrna. And to remember him in prayer. This is a hard transition, although he has been saying goodbye to her for several years.
Thank you, Carol. Anyone else? Anyone want to share about the beating guns into tools that was at that? Taylor? Tyler, I'm sorry. She's just really thankful to God that she got to come down here this week and be here today. We're glad you're here, too, with your brother and sister. You're on spring break this week. We're all done with spring break, and you're starting. Anyone else like to share? Kelly? Good job, Micah.
For all of you that bought pins for the treasure hunt, we were the recipients of some very hardworking youth yesterday, and we want to thank everyone. And if you only spent $2 for a pin or $10 for a pin, I would urge you to just contribute more to their convention fund because they're really a great group of kids.
Thank you. And you got your yard all landscaped now? Looks good? Good. Doug?
Our friend and neighbor, Iris Dentelman, passed away Thursday of this week. And please remember Steve, who will be living alone now. And Iris has been a good neighbor. We'll miss her a lot.
Iris is the woman's name.
Iris.
Last name?
Dinnerman.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Toby?
Thanks. I just wanted to express my appreciation for the music this morning. I love that guitar, and I don't know how you do, sounds like three guitars playing at once, but I felt really compelled to go up and sing. And I can't sing, so that's a good thing.
Thank you. Wonderful music today. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's go to prayer. Lord, you know our needs before we even ask, and you do far more than we can ask or imagine. So we pray that you would hear our prayers this morning for our loved ones, for our neighbors, for members of our congregation that are struggling, that are facing surgery, that are experiencing chemo. We especially pray for the Carnegie family today, asking that you would surround them with your peace and your comfort at this time. Thank you for our sister Olive, and thank you for her life, her legacy, of the people, that the children, the grandchildren, her husband that she has loved. Lord, we ask that you would be near to all of them this week as they reflect on their memories, as they share and express their love. We pray for Paul David Heiser, asking for healing. Thank you for the medical attention that he has had. Thank you for his children who have cared for him. Lord, restore this wound. Bring healing. We pray for Donna. We pray for Brenda as they look at surgery this week. As Brenda experiences treatment, we ask that you would be close to them. May they know your peace. May they sense your presence with them. And we pray for Larry Yoder, whose wife Betty has passed away. We ask that you would be near him, bring him comfort. We pray for Steve Denneman and his wife Iris, who has passed away. Lord, you are our true home. Thank you for your unconditional love for us. Thank you that you give us a home where we belong, where our questions are allowed, where our needs are recognized, where our pain is held with others in this community. May you be our true home as we travel this path of following you, as we work to be companions with one another along the way. We pray for your spirit to guide us, giving us discernment in our decisions that we make as a community. May you be our home in all that we do, a grace-filled sanctuary where grace and mercy are welcome. We ask these things as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And for our closing song today, please turn to page 143 in the blue hymnal. And please stand. We will be singing verse 1 and verse 3.
Thank you. En Cristo hay nueva creación. Todo viejo se fue, todo es nuevo, que se vayan en Cristo. In Christ there is new creation. Everything old is gone, all is new. Go forth in Christ.